Well, do please keep your Bibles open at that page, and let's pray together. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Because we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. It was on the 11th of February 1990 that Nelson Mandela walked out of the notorious Robben Island prison a free man. For the previous 27 years, he'd been incarcerated in South African prisons, mainly on Robben Island, under the apartheid regime. Unable to speak with who he wanted, unable to travel where he wanted, unable to, I imagine, eat what he wanted. But now he is a free man, able to travel where he wanted, meet who he wanted, eat what he wanted. The change in Nelson Mandela's situation from his time in prison to his time as a free man was unmistakable and gloriously extreme. Well, according to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, the person who has truly come to put their trust in Christ has experienced a release from captivity just as dramatic and even more kind of significant and gloriously extreme than that Nelson Mandela experienced. Just look with me at the opening two verses of Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. According to the Apostle Paul, the Christian believer has already been set free from the law, or to put it another way, the rule of sin and death. That's a glorious thing to be set free from, sin and death. But that presents many of us with a problem. Those of us who are skeptical about Jesus Christ don't see a fundamental difference between Christians and non-Christians. For instance, both Christians and non-Christians suffer the same fate. In other words, death. They both end up on the mortuary slab. And where's the freedom from death there? And Christian believers themselves don't feel free. Have those of us who are followers of Christ, who believe in Christ here, been free from sin this last week? I won't ask you to kind of stick up your hand if you have, because I know that no hands would go up. We're always conscious, are we not, of the power and pull of sinful desires in our lives. Well, nevertheless, the Apostle Paul is adamant that for the person who is in Christ, the law of the Spirit of life has set them free from the law of sin and death. He said, yes, we will sin. Yes, we will die. But by the active intervention of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Christian believer has, present tense, been set free. And in verses 5 to 11 of Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul describes that freedom in terms of the Holy Spirit's work in a believer's life. Now, in the first seven chapters of Romans, the Holy Spirit has been mentioned, but just four times. In the first 17 verses of chapter 8, he's mentioned no less than 14 times. So yes, sin and death remain a reality for the Christian believer. But because of the work of the Holy Spirit, neither has a decisive grip on us. We have been set free. So we're going to look first at verses 5 to 9, where we see how the Holy Spirit has given the Christian believer a new mind, and then we'll look at verses 10 and 11 and see how the Holy Spirit will give the Christian believer a new body. So first, the Christian believer has been given by the Holy Spirit a new mind. Now in verses 5 to 9, Paul contrasts two groups of people. Those who live according to the sinful nature and those who live according to the Spirit. And says Paul, these two groups of people live in two very different ways because they have two very different mindsets. So look at verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mindset on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Now, when Paul refers here to the mind, he means more than just what passes between our ears. He's referring to kind of the control center of a person's life. What you set your mind on is what you're taken up with, is what you live for. So Paul here is describing two very different approaches to life. And in our natural state, our minds are set on what our sinful nature desires. Human beings do not naturally live with the one true God at the center of their thoughts and actions. No, we naturally live with ourselves at the center of our thoughts and actions. We're not born morally and spiritually neutral. Actually, we're born with an anti-God bias. And what is more, there's nothing we can do to change the situation. Look at verse 7. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Now, that is a huge shock to many people. It's a huge shock to many non-Christian people because they think that by their good works or by their religious observances that they can please God. That is actually at the heart of all the religious endeavors that we see around the world. But verse 8 makes it categorically clear that those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. I mean, you can acknowledge that God exists. You can even know your Bible, recite the creed. But without the Holy Spirit controlling your mind, you cannot please God. And the reason why we cannot please God is because our mind is naturally hostile to God. We don't think of God as we should, and we don't behave as we should. So even if we wanted to obey God, we can't. That is why the good deeds the good deeds of unbelievers never please God. It's often pointed out, isn't it, that there are many non-Christian people who appear actually just as good or even kind of much nicer and kinder and more moral than many who believe and follow Christ. And that is right. But when God looks into the motive behaving that way, he sees that it doesn't come from a desire to honor him through a trust and obedience in Christ. It comes from some other motive or desire to do what they feel is right, to feel good about themselves or to be respectable. See, this is why being shown God's standards in the law doesn't in itself help. I naturally have the wrong mindset, the wrong heart. Here are two cars. On the outside, they look very similar. They both work. They both drive. But there is a fundamental difference between these two cars. One is a petrol car. So when it drives, however carefully it is driven, it always pollutes. The other car is one of these hybrids. So when it's running on battery at that time, at the moment it isn't. It's not producing pollution. Now, it's the nature of the petrol car that it will always pollute. And there is no point trying to plug it into the main supply to change the situation because it won't make any difference. It doesn't operate that way. the nature of its engine is that it will always produce pollution. Well, in a similar way, when those who are controlled by the sinful nature are plugged into God's law, it makes no difference. It cannot produce the fundamental change that is necessary. They still pollute. They still offend God. So, verse 6, the mind of sinful man is death. And this is where human beings are naturally heading. And the death that Paul is speaking of here is not just physical death, but spiritual death, which leads ultimately to eternal separation from God. Now, the only hope for human beings is if a radical change takes place. The only way a petrol car can drive without polluting is if actually a whole new type of engine is put into it. Similarly, the only way that we can please God is if we're given a whole new kind of new mindset, a whole new heart that wants to please God and submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is wonderfully confident that such a change has indeed happened to the Christian believers in Rome. So look at verse 9. He says to them, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." The moment we truly come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his atoning death for us on the cross, we receive not only a new status, no condemnation, that's what we looked at last week, we also receive a new life by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And at the deepest level, our fundamental longing is now not to go the way of our sinful nature, but to go the way of the Spirit of Jesus who lives within us, and to want to reflect his character and please him. And this is true of all Christians. See, remember that Paul is speaking here of only two categories of people. Those who live according to the sinful nature and those who live according to the Spirit. In other words, those who are unconverted and those who are converted. Those who are not Christians and those who are Christians. There are not two types of Christians. Normal ones and then kind of born again ones, spiritual ones. Now, look at verse 9 again. The second half of it makes it abundantly clear. All Christians are born again by the Spirit. As Paul says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So in that sense, all Christians are charismatic believers. Many of us will know of the charismatic movement. The modern charismatic movement started in this country in the 1960s, and much good has come from it. In particular, a renewed focus and understanding of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. But as with all these movements, not everything that's come out of it is good. And I can remember in my last church, where I was a vicar, somebody accusing me of not having the Spirit because I wasn't focusing on speaking in tongues and prophecy, which they thought was the mark. And I remember saying to the woman who leveled that charge at me, "Do you then not think that I'm a Christian?" And I pointed her to this verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." You see, the mark of a Christian is not a particular spiritual gift. No, the mark of the Spirit's work in somebody's life is faith in Jesus Christ and a new mindset a new heart that is set on what the Spirit desires. Now that does not mean, let me get this right, that does not mean that I'm perfect, far from it. Just talk to my wife about that, she'll soon put you right on that one. It doesn't mean I won't sin, nor sadly does it mean that I do not at times want to sin. But it does mean, and this is true for every Christian believer, that at the deepest, most fundamental sense of your being, at the sense of my being, I want to go Christ's way. So although at any one time you might catch me, and I might catch you, thinking, saying, or doing the most dreadful things, we're not happy about it. In fact, it grieves us. And we have no peace while we do those things and carry on with those attitudes, because deep down, we want to please Jesus and we want to be like Jesus. And friends, that is why those of us who are Christians actually can begin to be holy and live a changed life because of that desire. See, I imagine, actually, when I talk about it, many of us despair of ever doing that. We just keep battling with the same old sins again and again and again, and we think we'll never make any progress. But that is not true. We can. Oh yes, sadly, we will continue to sin. It is inevitable, because I live in a body that has a sinful nature, and that sinful nature will keep dragging me down. It's what I'm used to. In many sense, it's what I'm comfortable with. But through Jesus Christ, there is a new power at work in me, the Holy Spirit, and he gives me new desires so that I want to please God. And that is where, actually, victory over sin begins. That is where the practical holiness begins. Actually, not with knowledge or effort, but with a renewed desire. And the more we feed the things of the Holy Spirit, the more those desires will grow. And the more we will keep on doing battle with our sinful natures, and the more we will see some progress in our walk with Christ. And yes, it's painfully slow in coming, that progress. Sometimes it's dramatic, but normally it's pretty slow, because we have a sinful nature. But if you're a Christian believer, and you are deliberately holding on to some sin or some wrong attitude, although you may be getting some short-term pleasure from it, deep down, you're not happy about the situation. Actually, you're out of sorts with yourself. And in fact, when you think about it, you're permanently out of sorts with yourself whilst you continue to hold that attitude. And actually, if we continue to deliberately hold on to that which we know is wrong, we will not know Christ's joy or his power in our life. And friends, if that state ever changes and you're able to look at what you're doing without any regret, well, that could be a sign, actually, that you're not a believer at all. Because, as we see here, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. At the deepest level, we want to please God. And that is true of you. If you're a believer in Christ, at the deepest level, you felt you want to please him. You want to see God's name on it. You long to be holy. If there was a button you could press which would just make you holy, you never battle with sin again, you'd press it. So that's the first way the Christian believer has been set free. He's been given by the Holy Spirit a new mind. But not only has the Holy Spirit given us a new mind, he will in the future give us a new body. And here we're looking at verses 10 and 11. Verse 10, but if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now in verse 10, we have a little snapshot of the now and not yet nature of Christian experience. If I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have been saved, but I'm not fully saved. And I have, hopefully, coming up now on the screen for us, a diagram which I've shown you before, but I find it very helpful to make this point, so I'm showing it to you again. If we have come to put our trust in Jesus Christ, we are simultaneously part of two ages. Through Christ and by the Holy Spirit, I've been made spiritually alive. I know God. I'm now part of his kingdom. I have the Holy Spirit indwelling within me. I am living on that top green line. But I'm not fully saved. No, most of the benefits of Christ's salvation are still to come, because as well as living on the top green line, I also live with the whole of humanity on the bottom green line. You see, I still live in a fallen world with a fallen body. I'm still plagued by sin and death. And we need to recognize that both are true. You see, some of us who are Christians underplay the new life we've been given through the Spirit of God. If it's if we focus on the reality of the bottom line and underplay the reality of the top line. We think of our salvation only in terms of what we looked at last week. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. Therefore there is now no condemnation. That is the most wonderful truth. And we rejoice in that fact. But sometimes it's almost as if that's the only thing we rejoice in. We treat our salvation as if we've been given a certificate by God to say that we're not under condemnation, that we're kind of justified, put in the right with him. And we almost as if we file that certificate away in our filing cabinet. And we're thrilled to have that. I think it'd be wrong. We're thrilled to have that certificate. And yet, we didn't expect God to change us much or to use us much. Yes, we look forward to the future, but we don't have much expectation of God doing something in us now. When we come to pray, we don't expect God to be at work in us by his Spirit. We forget that as well as being given a new status before God, we've also been given a new life with a new power at work in us. But there is an equal and opposite danger. You see, some believers focus on the reality of the top line and underplay the bottom line. The most extreme example of this is the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Because we have the new life of the Spirit work in us, some people claim we can have constant victory over sin and good health and happiness because the power of God is available to us. But look at verse 10. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yes, through the Lord Jesus Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the age to come has broken into the present age. But I still live in the present age. And it is the nature of this present age that everything deteriorates. Because this is the age where sin and death and ignorance and suffering and judgment abound. So that's why we never feel that we're making progress in the Christian life, don't we? Perhaps we feel that there is something we've conquered. We've got this one licked. And the moment it happens, bang, we fall.
Think about it.
The moment a child is born, its life is heading in one direction only. Death. Just those of us who, you never say that to a newborn, to a mother who's just given birth to you. By the way, that child is going to die. But it is the truth. It is the truth. We're all of us heading one way. The moment we're born, we're heading one direction, death. Every day we live is a day closer to the grave. Christians get wrinkles and grey hair like everyone else. Which means Christians get cancer like everyone else. They get depression like everyone else. They suffer all the misfortunes of this present age, which is under the judgment of God, along with the rest of humanity. There is a constant battle with sin and evil, and it seems that death and decay, don't they, win at the end. But the glorious good news of the Christian message is that the same Holy Spirit who lives in us now and gives me a new mind will also give me a new body. So look at verse 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Billy McGrath died 9 days ago. Billy used to sit over there where Dorothy is now. Dorothy, give us a wave. If you know, that's where Billy used to sit. Usually with Mike Toynton next door to him. Mike's not here tonight. Is he? Where is he? Oh, Mike, there you are. You're a bit further along. You're hiding. In that row, you can see. You've been pushed along a bit. That's where Billy used to sit. In 9 days' time, I'll be taking Billy's funeral. Billy's widow is called Evelyn. We rarely see her in church because she's housebound. Her legs don't work. And her eyes aren't great. And the chances are she isn't going to get any better. But although Billy has died, and life is tough for Evelyn, and shows no sign of improving, they have this glorious hope. For the same Spirit that lived in Jesus and gave resurrection life to his mortal body will give resurrection life and resurrection bodies to Billy and Evelyn. And not only to them, but to all of us who are indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. And that is a mouth-watering prospect guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So there we have it. And as we've worked our way through these first 11 verses of Romans chapter 8, we've been reminded by the Apostle Paul of three different ways that the believer in Jesus Christ has been set free. Last week, we saw that the Christian believer has been set free from the penalty of sin. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And as Paul explained, that was because Christ gave his life as a sin offering. He paid the penalty for our sin 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross for us. And this week we've seen how the Christian believer is being set free from the power of sin. Through the Holy Spirit, God has given his people a new mind and a new heart so that deep down they long to please him and walk in his ways. And that is true. We have been given new life and a new desire. And we know it. It is there deep within us. We must just fan it into flame. That's all we have to do. Do the thing. That's why coming to church tonight will help you to live the Christian life. Because it fans that flame, that desire to live for Christ. Is that not right? At the moment, none of you want to sin. It is far from you, I hope. We're here. We're with God's people. We've been listening to his word. It seems abhorrent to us. He's given us that new desire by the Spirit. So the Christian believer has been set free from the penalty of sin. He is being set free from the power of sin. And one day we will be set free from the presence of sin. And that will take place when Christ returns to judge the living and the dead. And on that day, God's Holy Spirit, who dwells in believers, will raise up all those who have trusted in Christ and give them new resurrection bodies. What a great day that will be. Bodies that will know no decay and no sin, but will enjoy living in the presence of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in a renewed creation. Nelson Mandela left Robben Island prison 20 years ago. And ever since, he has lived his life in the light of his freedom. And he's enjoyed it and made the most of it. May those of us who have been set free by Christ do the same. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you that through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has indeed set us free from the law of sin. And thank you that we have been set free. Free from sin's dominance on our lives. Thank you that your Holy Spirit lives in your people. Thank you he gives us that desire to live for the Lord Jesus. And we pray that desire may be ever more evident and dominant in our lives. Please give us that grace, again, that desire to fan into flame, to do all those things that please the Spirit rather than grieve him. And may those desires grow in us so that we may live lives which are indeed full of Christian power, that are effective in your service. And we thank you for the glorious hope that you've given us of new bodies, bodies which won't sin, which won't decay and die like our present sinful ones do and will. And we thank you for that glorious hope that we have for folk who have died in the faith of Christ. We think of Billy McGrath. We thank you, Lord, that he will be raised to resurrection life along with all your people because your Spirit lived in him and lives in all your people. Amen.